Are you hungry? Are you hungry? That might seem an odd question to ask, given that it's lunchtime, and this is your lunch break. I promise I won't keep you from your sandwiches for too long. But are you hungry? Seems to me that a lot of people are. And by that, I don't mean those living on the streets or the refugees who are arriving, but rather all around, almost everywhere you look, there are people who don't appear to be especially in need of a good lunch, but who still look positively famished. The demanding expectations of home and workplace, often the frenetic lifestyles that we're caught up in here in the city, they can have that effect. They take their toll. It goes beyond tiredness. It's much closer to malnourishment. But it has little to do with whether you opt for a Big Mac over a super grain salad, or that you go to the gym rather than stay at home for a lazy night in. People are hungry. What's it like in your office, on your team? That colleague who you wonder, how are they going to keep on keeping on? Perhaps they're wondering that themselves. Perhaps that person is you. I spoke with someone recently who said, I feel like a battery that has been recharged too many times. No matter what I do, I'm never able to get back up to 100%. Well, if that's not you today, I'm sure we've all had days like that. So often we are running on fumes. And because of that, we need to know where the fuel station is. Here we are in John chapter 6. The chapter begins with crowds of people having gathered around Jesus. It's a crowd of thousands. And Jesus recognizes this about them. He sees that they are hungry, and he knows that they are famished. So, he feeds them. 5 small barley loaves, 2 small fish, enough of a packed lunch for a young boy. But Jesus multiplies it up, and everyone's hunger is sated with plenty of fuel to spare. In a life where we are often running on fumes, these men and women, boys and girls, they were given a glimpse of where the true fuel station might be. But if they and we are to grasp what Jesus wants us to grasp here, we must listen to what Jesus then goes on to teach. The people of Israel, when they were rescued out of slavery in Egypt, where did they find themselves? Of all the possible places, the place where they were first brought to live was a barren desert. Looking around them in every direction, as far as the eye could see, the prospects looked dim. If this was where they were meant to live, then it was going to be a tough job staying alive. It wasn't long before someone started asking, "Where's the food coming from?" Only they put it far less objectively. The people started to cry out, "We're going to die." And well they might have. Well they might have, if they had been brought out into that desert by any other god. But not by this god. Each morning, the Lord provided for the people what were essentially caramel waffles. Have you ever had one of those in the coffee shop? You can heat them up over your warm beverage and they go down quite a treat. Each morning the desert was littered with this sweet wafer-like food. Manna, they called it. And it was enough for everyone. What should this people have learned as they sat there munching on their breakfast? It's this. It is the Lord himself who provides for them, who fuels and sustains their very life. There in the desert, well, there in the desert with no food coming from any direction other than from heaven itself, you might think that that would be an easy lesson to grasp. Easier, say, than for us, where we so easily get confused as to the source of all the good things that come our way. Yet still, for those Israelites, it was a lesson 40 years in the learning. It is the Lord himself who provides for us, who fuels and sustains our lives. Do we realize that? One sign that we have realized this is how we approach these stories of the manna in the wilderness and the feeding of the 5,000 plus. At one level, they are extraordinary. But at another level, they're really quite basic. So basic. We're left thinking, of course the Lord did this for his own. But here in John chapter 6, in the verses we've just heard read, what strikes us is how Jesus now takes such a basic truth and elevates it to another level. Verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Back there in the desert with Moses, the manna that came from heaven had been a bread of life for the people. Now this Jesus who has come down from heaven says he himself is that bread of life. Which is it? Those caramel waffles, however delightful and sweet to the taste they had been, that was only ever a picture, a shadow of the still sweeter bread that is Jesus himself. You see, if we're to be truly nourished, if we're to overcome the weariness that is so much a part of our fallen human condition and of the pressures of life in the city, if we're going to keep on keeping on, we need to feed on something, someone, far more substantial than our regular stuff of the earth. C.S. Lewis, the chronicler of Narnia, put it like this. God designed the human machine to run on himself. He is the fuel our spirits were destined to burn, the food we were designed to feed on. Verse 35, I am the bread of life, says Jesus. He is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn. That is at one level extraordinary, but at another, again, oh so basic. We could each of us simply try to run our lives on the things that God gives us, and they will get us so far, but they won't enable us to go the distance. For the same reason that you can't run a petrol engine on diesel. Or we could, each of us, start to run our lives on God himself. This God who has given himself to us. There's a world of difference. Glance across at what Jesus says in verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Get the things of God, and those things may extend your life for a while. But the grave still awaits once the last drop of fuel has been expended. Get God, and to have him is having life itself, one that extends on beyond the grave into resurrection and forever. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Everyone who looks to the Son. Where do you look if you want to be looking to the Son? The best place to look is the cross. For it's there that we see him most clearly displayed, where we see him as he is, as bread. On the evening before his execution, Jesus sat down to dinner with his disciples. And during that meal, Jesus took some bread and he broke it before the disciples' eyes, saying, "This is my body." In only a few hours, his actual body would hang broken upon a Roman cross. Such a heartbreaking yet gruesome sight. And yet Jesus has taught us that the first thing we should see as we look to the same cross is bread. "Take and eat," he says. And there's really not a lot else you can do with bread but take it and eat it. "Take and eat," Jesus says. And if I'm to do that, I must first come to realize that Jesus' body has been broken for me. That his invitation is personal. Jesus, we feed on him by listening to his word, by speaking and singing out his praise, by celebrating with others in the sharing of bread and wine, all of which serves to, all of which serves to do what? It serves to enable us to see Jesus ever more clearly, to the point where we can't take our eyes off him, where our lives are inseparably joined to his life. This living bread is sweet to the taste and wholesome, bringing vitality and health. What we will receive from him today will satisfy our deepest hunger. And what we will receive of him today will be a foretaste of a richer feast still to come. Are you hungry? As one pastor once put it, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Jesus is that bread. All of this is about God meeting our most basic need, life over death. Jesus gives himself over to death that we might have life. And not just any life. He is the God who has come down from heaven and gives us his very own life. That's something that only he can give. Such life isn't to be found anywhere else. Take and eat. Is that an invitation you and I have heard? More importantly, is that an invitation that you and I have responded to? Take. Eat. It can take a while to get a taste for something. Sometimes there's a threshold that needs to be crossed. But whoever has come, and who keeps on coming, and who has truly tasted, they will never go hungry. That's the promise. Amen.